Far too often, we've seen a practice's staff, either the receptionist, a practice manager, or patient coordinator, on a call with a prospect, and they are trying so hard to get a booking at all costs, all the while they're not really listening to what their prospect is saying to them. They're giving the appearance that they have an agenda of what it is that they want, which is just to make a booking. A prospect on the other end of that call is just anticipating when they will start hearing the pitch of your products and services. And that is really the opposite way you want to operate or have your prospect feeling. Instead, the way that you want to operate is by being their trusted advisor, as this is going to put you in the position of control, and control must be taken, even by force. If you're on a call with a prospect and they're trying to dictate the terms of how this call is going to go, or they just start asking questions about price or deviating from your process, you need to take control of the situation. And the way that you do that is by asking them questions, and in some cases, asking a lot of questions. On an initial call with a prospect, you want to be doing 20% of the talking. You want to let your prospect do most of the talking, and you need to be asking a lot of questions, which you're using to find out what their pain points, fears, objections, and dreams are, and identifying that if what you offer is going to be something of value to them, and if they are going to be a good fit for your program, your products, or your services. When we talk about taking control in a sales call, it is because a sales call is really like a game of chess, and your prospect will keep trying to make a move that gets them in control. If they've asked you a question, then regain control by asking them a question back. For example, your prospect asks you a very typical inquiry. How much does your product or services cost? Because you might not have established your value yet, you need to regain control. We might answer with something like, well, that will depend on what you're looking for and your current condition. If you went to see a doctor and without examining your current condition, your health history, and diagnosing your symptoms and causes, they start prescribing you drugs and treatments and saying how much it is going to cost, would you trust and move forward with that doctor's recommendation? You don't want the prospect dictating the terms of the call, as they'll always be keen to keep it short and in their own self-interest. We might answer with something like, well, that will depend on what you're looking for and your current condition. If you went to see a doctor and without examining your current condition, your health history, and diagnosing your symptoms and causes, they start prescribing you drugs and treatments and saying how much it is going to cost, would you trust and move forward with that doctor's recommendation? You don't want the prospect dictating the terms of the call, as they'll always be keen to keep it short and in their own self-interest. You need to dictate control so that you can establish the value of your products and services, but you also need to understand a few details about your prospect in advance too. In this call, it is about identifying the four critical NBAT elements of your prospect. By understanding these elements, you will know if they are a good fit and ready for you and your services. So what are they? Well, N stands for needs. What are their needs? How important is it for them to have it right now? B stands for budget. Have they got enough money for it? Would they need financial assistance? A stands for authority. Are they the person who makes the decisions, or do they need to discuss it with someone else? And finally, T stands for timing. When do they want to have it done? Is it now, or in 6 months, or maybe a year down the road? Have they seen other doctors before? Well, what did they think? When you are on a telephone call, you will come in contact with a lot of different types of personalities, different egos, people from all different walks of life. Now, some prospects might be very timid and not want to be in control. And then you might also get aggressive personality types too. They're the ones that will be like, oh, yeah, right, yeah. Just tell me a little bit more about what you guys do and how much does it cost? Now, those people are quite common. While it may feel safer and less confronting to simply give them an answer, you need to reestablish control over the conversation by saying something like, well, that's not how this call works. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to start off by asking you a bunch of questions to learn more about you and your needs and see if we would even be a good fit for you. And at the end of this call, we'll allocate some time to open up for questions. Are you okay with that? And 9 times out of 10, they'll be okay with that. And the call will carry on smoothly as planned. But a few times they might be like, no, I don't have time for that. I just want to know how much you guys charge. In that instance, you just want to politely let them know that's not the way this call goes, and you need to end this call and let that person go. If someone is trying to take so much control that they're not willing to even have a conversation with you, then they're never going to be a serious patient or client or buy anything from you. You want to be very aware of what the power dynamics of this call are. Who's in control? If you ever feel like you are not in control, the way that you regain control is by asking questions and fundamentally getting down to what is the desired outcome that they are trying to achieve. When we talk about a sixth sense of selling, what we are really talking about is your intuition and being able to read people, read a situation that is currently taking place to help better forecast and anticipate responses and for knowing where the direction of a conversation is going before it gets there. I'm going to be loading you up with methods for handling every type of objection, how to conduct follow-ups, and even a sales script, but developing and relying on your intuition and really being able to read people on these calls and determine what someone is actually feeling will go a long way towards determining how much time you should spend on any one particular sales effort. What are those little cues and hints people give us in the way that they are talking and the things that they're saying compared to what they mean? To start developing your sixth sense, we begin with looking at tonality. We will study what tonality looks like for us on a sales call later in this guide, but we also want to read into our prospect's tonality. If you can hear them getting a bit excited towards certain points that they are saying, or maybe they go silent, or they're more receptive and they're upward inflecting in everything that they're saying, they're subtly sending you signals. And you want to read into all of those situations, and you want to start adjusting that way that you're communicating and the way that you are directing the conversation based off these signals that you're getting. Let's start by looking at a situation where a prospect has started to go quiet during your conversation. You will want to start asking more questions, prompting them to get more involved again. You're trying to speak less and find out where they are at. You can simply ask them something like, "Is this all making sense?" Or maybe, "How much of what I just said do you believe?" Or, "What have I gone over that you'd like me to go over again in greater detail?" Regardless of the questions, the goal is that we want to get them re-engaged with the call. Alternatively, if you can feel like someone's getting really excited during a conversation, jumping around in their thoughts and kind of interrupting you by asking unnecessary questions, at this stage, you probably want to slow down the conversation a bit and start to regain control. Emphasize the words that you are saying. Add pauses in a way that you are delivering your message. Keep the pace. That ensures that you are getting to tell your message, how you want to deliver it. To recap, this is about being highly tuned and using your sixth sense and intuition to understand what is going on in the mind of your prospect. Getting a read on them and their situation, even when they don't communicate it, is a fine art, and fine-tuning it throughout your career and your life will make you an effective master communicator. It's a skill that you'll need continuously to work on and develop, and it's something that we find over time comes more naturally as we improve it. But we need to be conscious of it and alert to it during our conversations to ensure that we have the clearest picture possible of our prospect and their situation. In this section, I'm going to dive into how to use pauses to develop persuasion, especially around closing a booking. Using pauses in your language to really emphasize points or to build or release pressure on a call can be very powerful. What I see far too often in clinics is that they might mention their price or their terms and conditions for doing a procedure, and they begin to feel very nervous about it. And they just rush onto their next item, hoping to avoid confrontation and any challenges. They will say something like, "Yes, our procedure costs $5,000, and what you get for that is," and they quickly attempt to move on to the next point. A more effective strategy is that you want to say your price and then pause to build some pressure into your conversation. Give them the space to respond, as their response will help guide you in what the next steps to your conversation will be. What are we doing? It's a bit of a temperature check of where our prospect is at, so give them some space to tell you. "Our service fee is $5,000 for this procedure." And then just stay quiet. It's a powerful way for you to get that prospect to share their feelings and thoughts on that price. For a more aggressive pause technique, you can add a question like, "So, we've covered everything today and the price you would be looking at is $5,000 for this procedure. Can we go ahead and book you in for a consultation today?" And then once again, you would just stop right there and stay quiet. You don't need to say a word. It can get really uncomfortable for both parties, but trust in the pause and let it sink in. You shouldn't feel pressured and just cave in and start talking. That will release all of the pressure that you've built on the call, and you'll never be able to build to that point again. In these pauses, in the pressure to fill that empty space, your prospect is most vulnerable to sharing any final hidden or unspoken objections, thoughts, or feelings. So you really want to be aware of that. And while it's going to be incredibly uncomfortable at times to just sit there in that silence, you need to develop comfort with it. In some cases, this silence can go on for 20 to 30 seconds, even a minute. It's something that you need to be confident in doing, and you might even need to just put your phone on mute and just sit there, just to help you out with not feeling the need to say something. If you feel the pause has gone on for far too long, you can ask a simple, "Well, what did you think about that?" question to get the conversation going again. You just need to know that you have come to this point. And as much as you want to cave to the pressure, it's best to let your prospect cave first. If you need to, mention your service, mention your price, but ask for their buy-in. Ask if we can close, and then just be quiet and sit there in that quietness and be comfortable in it. And you don't have to use pauses only when you're closing sales. You can use pauses to emphasize points and to get a read on your prospect throughout the sales process. You have to understand what it's like for your prospect to be on the other end of the phone with you. For you, you've gone through these sales calls countless times, and you know everything that you're saying. But for your prospect, this is the first time that they've ever heard any of this from you. Using pauses to ensure that any information you've provided has sunk in so that you can safely move on to your next point or for getting a clearer answer to your closing message is very effective. The use of pauses at the right time to build and release pressure and to control the pace of the conversation for letting your prospect absorb all of the information you're giving them is a great strategy for ensuring that your prospect has all of the information that they need and that they are well placed in a situation where they can provide you with valuable feedback. It is fairly common that when you go for the close that your prospect might find a way to avoid your closing attempts. What do I mean by that? Well, for example, you say something like, "Does that all sound good? Can we go ahead and get you set up today?" And then suddenly they'll pop up with a question like, "Oh, can you tell me a little bit more about your payment terms?" And generally, this is going to happen a few times. And what separates good salespeople from the great salespeople is having the ability to ease tension and go for the close, whether it's the first, the second, the fourth, or even the 10th time that they've attempted to close a deal. Regardless of the attempt, being able to do it again and again with a certain conviction and being fully confident and comfortable in that state will help better position you for converting more sales. Imagine a scenario where you're attempting to close. "Well, this sounds all good. Can we go ahead and book you in?" And then you get another objection. "Can you tell me about the payment terms? I don't have the cash right now to pay up front." You spend the time to address the payment terms or whatever their specific concern was that they've got. Then you hit them up with some added benefits and you ask them for the close again. "So, now that we've sorted that all out, can we go ahead and get this all set up for you so that you can start enjoying the benefits of this sooner rather than later?" You will need to get comfortable in attempting multiple closes throughout a call by being comfortable and confident in the message you are delivering. It will allow you to unearth other potential silent killer objections that you can address and ensure that you keep working towards a sale. This is where most poor salespeople will fall over. They may have the confidence to go for the close once, but after being rejected, they might be shy in going for other multiple attempts. But having to go through multiple attempts can just be a normal process of the prospect working through all of their objections until they are comfortable with pushing forward. Being comfortable and confident in trying to close again and again and again isn't easy. Sales is a high-pressured environment, but you need to be comfortable in repeatedly asking the prospect to book, to sign up, to take the next step with you if you're going to achieve great sales success.